You're listening to Engage with Andy Bush. To connect with the program today, please send an email to andrew.bush@comcast.net. That's andrew.bush@comcast.net. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back to Engage and our special energy edition of Engage. I'm your host, Andy Bush. That was fantastic. We really got a nice spread of what we're trying to figure out today, which is the energy space, not only from the market standpoint, but also a little bit of the historical background on it, and then, of course, the regulatory side of things. So once again, we had returning guest Dennis Gartman, obviously world-famous guy on the commodity side. And it was interesting. Dennis said, you know, the key three things, you know, that are changing the face of U.S. energy production are, you know, Bakken, Bakken, and Bakken. And what he really meant to say is obviously Bakken, Eagle Ford, and Marcellus Shale. The key thing for Dennis as he was looking at this was saying, well, look, we're close to being a major energy exporter whenever that happens, in the sense of whenever oil is allowed to be exported. And he believes that there's a tremendous amount of oil in the United States and really available at the $115 to $120 range. So he doesn't think that we'll go above that anytime soon. And I think the key thing to take away from Dennis's comments was that he believes that we've seen that peak and that we're now going to really try to figure out where we're going to go from here, in the sense of how far down will we go that would influence production in the United States. And otherwise, if you have $85 a barrel West Texas Intermediate crude, does that start to shut down some of these hydraulic fracturing and horizontal drilling wells that are out there to decrease production to get it back up to the $100 level? That's, I think, fascinating. Dennis also was very with the fact that Libya could start to export, you know, potentially a 500,000 barrels per day, as high as 1.5 to 2 million barrels. That had been something that had been really fresh in the news, but he felt that that was just, you know, hanging your hat on that one was a dangerous situation. Switching gears a little bit, John Kemp from Reuters. Oh my gosh, he was so great to have on, right? And it was fascinating. I was cracking up because he said this whole concept about peak oil has been written about for almost a century now. Somebody in 1919 was talking about how the U.S. could not produce more oil because they were thinking only that we would get more oil wells drilled, and you couldn't do that anymore. He had no vision to see the technology would improve the production and capabilities. And that's, we spent some time talking about horizontal drilling and how important that was to get at the supplies that are out there. And the U.S. is one of the most amazing places from a geological standpoint, that we have had a long history of mapping what we have in each of the states. Each state has a geological department. And one of the other things he said, too, which is really interesting, was the fact that you had to share that information. You know, if you had gone and mapped as a company, you had to share that information within a certain period of time. One last thing about it was that John said how deep and long the cycles are in oil, that the 1973 and 1979 oil crisis led to the development of the North Sea oil, the Alaskan oil, and Soviet oil that led to the massive decline in oil prices in 1986. Something could have been said similarly to what happened in 1999, and then, of course, the 2003-2008, where we had the major rise in oil prices, that led to a change in behavior, whether it was lessening demand for people not driving as much, or actually legislative changes such as the biofuels mandate, and then, of course, the energy efficiency. So what he's saying here is keep an eye on all three of those things. And finally, on, you know, switching gears right into that, into Jim Lucier, from the EIA Energy Conference, he said that the thing that they spoke a lot about was how much oil is available in the United States, that we will be the number one producer of oil very soon and for a very long period of time. Petroleum and petrochemicals are increasing as a share of our exports, are now up to 16%, which is a really major, major positive for the balance of payment situation in the United States. And eventually, it will impact very positively the U.S. dollar. I think the U.S. dollar is going to strengthen significantly. As soon as you see that export ban go up on crude, you can bet the U.S. dollar is going to start to strengthen. And finally, with the Republicans taking over Congress, he believes that while you can't stop the EPA on what they have on their CO2 ruling, the 30% by 2030 and influencing electricity production, he feels it can be slowed down by committee hearings and things like that to actually not kill the golden goose as far as the hydraulic fracturing goes, as far as natural gas goes. And he mentioned this one particular study as far as the positive impact on our economy. This one Texas study out of Texas that said $122 billion are flowing into this country from the petrochemical industry. So that is all fine and good. It's fantastic for this country. Yes, we have to watch what we're doing on the regulatory side and environmental side, but ladies and gentlemen, this is the best story for this country going on right now. All right, let's leave it there. And this is our special energy edition. Next week, we'll shift gears and look at foreign policy. I'm Andy Bush. Have a great weekend. This is Engage.
Thank you for tuning in this week to Engage with Andy Bush. We'll be back again next Friday at noon in the West, 3 p.m. in the East, on the Voice America Business Channel. We'll have more insights and discussions then.